Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town, where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfect, though.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your Miami Dolphins, part of the Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time Hall of Famer. Of course, I'm talking about the good doctor himself, Dr. Christopher Cullen. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
Samuel, I am wonderful. Are you kidding me? It is week one of the NFL season. We've been waiting for months for this to get here. We've gotten through preseason, we've gotten through the draft, we've gotten through free agency, we've gotten through the offseason. Here we are. It is week one. We got the Chargers. We literally start our Super Bowl run this Sunday, so I'm excited.
It'll be interesting and fun to see the team play actual meaningful football against another middling to upper class team in the AFC with the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm excited. I would prefer to not start on the West Coast, but I'm okay with it too. I am a West Coaster. I wish I could be down there. That's why I wish I could not prefer, because I cannot be there this weekend to go to the game, which kind of pisses me off. But I don't know, man. It's like all those other podcasts that we were doing that we were saying were important, like the draft and free agency and all that. It doesn't really matter. None of that mattered. What matters is now. It is week one of the NFL season. Everybody other than Cardinals fans are hopeful as to what their team can be and what the possible outcomes. I mean, you got Nick Bosa signing the most lucrative contract in NFL history earlier today.
He's switching to D end like tonight. I literally said, no more outside linebacker, no more running back. You're playing defensive end, my friend. They get paid.
Yeah, my son gave me a hug earlier, and I'm like, no, you need to wrap a little tighter. Like, just wrap it a little tighter and just
swim.
Pull the legs.
Swim. Yes, yeah, yes. Get that arm underneath. Rip.
I got to tell you, Chris, I would have not put money down that Nick Bosa would get that big of a contract from the San Francisco 49ers. But if I were to have bet, I would have bet on Bet Online, ladies and gentlemen. Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more, including football, of course. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. So go to BetOnline, head to the website, use your mobile device, however you need to get there, get to BetOnline and get in on the action. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, Chris, where the game starts. So let's start with the game that everyone who's listening to this right now, the citizens of Perfectville, the good citizens, care about. Nobody cares about the Chiefs on Thursday night. Nobody cares about the Las Vegas Raiders and what Chandler Jones is upset about or whoever it is that's yelling these days. Everyone cares that's listening to this podcast right now about Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and the rest of the Miami Dolphins gang against the Los Angeles Chargers of Los Angeles. And I got to tell you, Chris, I hate, I'm just going to say it, I hate the Los Angeles Chargers. I cannot stand the Los Angeles Chargers. How do you feel about the Chargers?
So I'm going to call them the San Diego Chargers because it doesn't fucking matter. No one cares about the Chargers. Their eight fans don't care about the Chargers. Can I jump right into this? Like what I hate about the Chargers? Like I think I'm going to jump into it because this is who we play.
Let's just get the enemy behind the line.
Let's start.
Yes. Let's just tee this up for everyone though. This is how we're doing our game previews right now. We're going to talk about everything we hate about the opponent. Week one, we are in Los Angeles against the Los Angeles Chargers. I hate the Chargers. Chris Cullen hates the Chargers. All Dolph fans everywhere hate the Chargers. The Chargers fans usually hate the Chargers. So we're just going to get into it. Chris is going to give his top three things that he hates about the Los Angeles Chargers. And then Sam Marcoux is going to give his top three things that he hates about the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm willing to bet, Chris, because we did not share notes before the show, that there's some similarities there. But why don't you kick us off like Jason Sanders will do this weekend, week one.
First, let's start with a happy medium, like honorary mention, right? Honorable mention.
Okay.
The name Charger. What are you? The lightning bolt? Are you an Apple charger? Are you charging a phone? No one likes chargers until they need them, and then when they need them, they take forever to do their job. If they even do it properly, you got wireless chargers, you got plug-in chargers, you got really long chargers, you've got USB chargers, you've got plug-in-the-wall chargers. You go over to England or Ireland and you've got different bolt chargers. Stupid fucking name, dumb name, honorable mention. But I'm going to go with my first one. Let's get into that real quick.
I want to get into that. Here's why I also hate that. I hate the Chargers name because if you look at their logo, it's electricity. It's a lightning bolt. So they go by the bolts. But here's the thing. If you look at what a charger is, Chris, it's a fucking horse.
The Chargers are a horse.
Yeah. It's a horse, and their mascot should be a horse. If you look at their throwback, it's a horse, and that makes sense because a charger is a type of horse. So why in the fuck hell is it an actual lightning bolt? It's because somebody looked at it. It's kind of like the Buffalo Bills, and that their mascot is a buffalo instead of some guy named Bill. It's all fucked up. It's completely fucked up, and I agree with you. Honorable mention, the name is stupid.
So stupid. I hate Chargers so much. It's so dumb. All right, I'm gonna start with my first, my actual one of three, and it's in Google it, please, please God, Google it while you're listening to this, citizens of Perfectville and Charger fans alike, all three of you. The mascot. Good Lord, that Jim Carrey 1996 mask looking fucking idiot with the goddamn lightning bolts on the ears, with the face that looks like a fucking Westworld stupid animatronic. It is the absolute dumbest looking fucking stupid mascot I've ever seen in the NFL. I mean, it is so bad. Look at them. He's cross-armed with the sunglasses and like the dumb Jim Carrey 96 smile. Like, it is stupid. No one likes it. He's not hyping anyone up. He's a living lightning bolt. I literally fucking can't stand it. We got TD the Dolphin, which is great. Even the Patriots got a cool, like, fucking, you know, Revolutionary War, Boston Tea Party guy. Fireman Ed is a better fucking mascot than this piece of shit. Like, this guy sucks. He looks like a 90s bullshit DreamWorks cartoon animation movie that wasn't good enough to be Pixar. Like, just so bad. I hate it, Sam. I hate it so much. Their mascot's terrible.
I cannot believe that you don't like Bolt Man. The only thing worse than the mascot is his actual name, which is Bolt Man. Like, it sounds like something that even DC Comics is like, no, that's retarded. We're not going to make that. Please get out of our office.
That?
Yeah. You know who he looks like? This is who he looks like. He looks like that McDonald's mascot from the 80s and 90s.
Yes,
you know, if you guys can see that right now. Yeah, the moon guy with the knife.
Sunglasses. Yes. Like, what are we doing here? No, that guy's pumping up the 13 fans in the stadium?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I didn't realize that I hated that until you mentioned it. And as soon as you mentioned it, I'm like, oh, so my God, that's not on my list. And I absolutely 100% hate Bolt Man. He makes me want to bolt, man. Like, I want to throw up every time I see him. And if I was going to the game in Los Angeles this weekend, I would probably do everything I could possibly do to kick him in his stupid Charger throat. Perfect, Sir Perfect, or whatever his name is, the Jacksonville Jaguars mascot, is infinitely better than this jack off. And I hate the Jaguars mascot. So good call. That is a very good thing to hate about Boltman. And what does Boltman do? Does he have a signature thing that he does other than having a very punchable mascot face, Chris? Does he do anything when, you know, they score touchdowns? Or does he have a routine? I don't know. I have no idea what Boltman's
I'm hoping he
is.
Either seizures, like he's being struck by lightning, or he's throwing lightning bolts and it looks like he's just jerking off the biggest stupid fucking fan of Justin Herbert in the crowd. That's the only thing I can imagine that he does that's remotely relevant to the Chargers fucking game.
Yeah, they used to shoot cannons. I remember because the last time I went to a Los Angeles Chargers Dolphins game is when they played in that soccer stadium a couple of years ago before they moved in and started paying rent to the Rams. And they've shot off cannons because they did it when their guy kicked a field goal to win the game, except that he missed and they still fired off the cannon. So all the Charger fans were really happy. And I was just kind of silently laughing inside because the Dolphins had actually won the game. But I don't know what Boltman does. I agree. I think he's irrelevant, Chris. He does not need to be a thing. I would agree with that. All right. That's a very good first thing to hate about the Los Angeles Chargers. Do you mind if I jump in and I share one of the things?
I'd love to hear yours.
So I've kind of alluded to it. You've kind of alluded to it, but I hate the fact that they are the Los Angeles Chargers. That to me bothers the living shit out of me. It makes me want to shit out of my dick, Chris. That's how mad I am. Well, every time I have to say the Los Angeles Chargers, because I have to think about it. Like I used to say San Diego Chargers so often that I still call them the San Diego Chargers. And then there's always some jerk off that's like, it's Los Angeles Chargers.
Actually, like, you mean the Los Angeles Chargers. Yeah. And they moved.
Kudos to them for actually moving and not just taking the name Los Angeles like the fucking Angels did in baseball. But still, even if you move to Los Angeles, please just go by the San Diego Chargers. I mean, honestly, San Diego is a better town to hang out in. They have the beach. There's way more sun somehow than Los Angeles. And it just doesn't sound right, Chris. Los Angeles Chargers still does not sound right. Even their initials, the LAC, reminds me of the Clippers, not the Chargers. I hate everything about them being in Los Angeles. And here's the thing. As part of that, it's not even their stadium. It's the Rams stadium that they're in. Right. They're basically the West Coast Jets. That's who they are. And I hate the fucking Jets. So therefore, I have to hate the Chargers. I hate the fact that they're in Los Angeles and that the Miami Dolphins week one have to travel across the country, across the continent to go play them in an afternoon game for the West Coast, which means it's going to be a 4:30 start for the Miami Dolphins. Terrible. That's not what they do well. They do well at 1:15 at home in September. Instead, they're going to be in Los Angeles at 4:30. I hate it. I hate it.
Yep, totally hate it. The city, all of it. Same thing with the Las Vegas Raiders and everything. Like, you have to like, oh, it's not the Oakland Raiders anymore. Like, okay. Like, you just fucking, you know who I'm talking about. It's the goddamn Raiders. It's the goddamn Chargers. You know who I'm talking about. So, total agreeance here. We're 2 for 2 with agreeing with each other. My next one, Sam. Dolphins fans are going to kind of cringe at this one, but I'm going to be your defender here. I fucking hate Kellen Winslow Sr. Fuck that picture of him just, I'm exhausted with the towel over my head, getting dragged off the field in that triple, quadruple overtime win against the Miami Dolphins back in the 70s and 80s, whatever the fuck it was. I wasn't even born yet. I just, like, everyone's tired after a football game. Super extra. Maybe run some more gassers, Kellen Winslow Sr. Because all I know is this. Your son sucks. And that's a Miami Hurricane fan talking about it, by the way. I'm a fucking soldier. Shut the fuck up, Kellen Winslow Jr. You're literally like the 8th best tight end that's ever played at the University of Miami. You're behind like Jeremy Shockey's jockstrap. Like, no one wants to hear it. Kellen Winslow Sr., that Chargers picture of him getting dragged off the field by his teammates. I'm sick of it. I don't want to see it. I'm done with it. Classic game, and it's the Dolphins losing. I don't want to hear about it. Hate it. Hate the Chargers for that.
Yeah, I believe Kellen Winslow Jr. is of a prisoner, because that's where he is currently. Yeah, here's the thing. They keep playing that. They keep playing Kellen Winslow being dragged off the field. And yes, the Chargers won that game. But if you look at the overall record against the Miami Dolphins, they have a losing record. The Miami Dolphins win. They're 17-15 against the Chargers all time. So yes, they can keep playing that clip from, I believe, the very early 80s. But the fact of the matter is the Miami Dolphins are better than the Los Angeles Chargers have been all time. I mean, we just have more wins than they do. So if I'm looking at history, that gives me some comfort if I'm a Miami Dolphin or citizen of Perfectville, or looking at this game and going, okay, well, statistically speaking, the Miami Dolphins have won more often than they've lost against the Chargers. Therefore, history should, on some level, look to repeat itself. So they can play that over and over and over again, Chris. And I agree with you. I hate that they keep playing that, because it makes it seem like the Chargers are somehow the ones who have the winning record in this rivalry, if you want to call it that, but they don't. Yes, they won last year, but guess what? We won 2 years before that. So it's been fairly even, but if I'm looking at the numbers, pure numbers, the Miami Dolphins have them 17 games over 15.
Good. They should, because the Chargers are only known like for that play. Like, other than that, and a couple of good players like Marty Schottenheimer, the Chargers are just like, I don't know. They're like the West Coast stepchild. Like, they've been known for some good things. Dan Fouts sucks. Like, that guy's so overrated, by the way. Like, and he looks goofy, and I hate his announcing so bad. But yeah, that whole picture with Kellen Winslow Sr., just, I'm sick of seeing it. What year is it? Like, yeah. We don't hear Nirvana on the radio anymore. Can we stop showing that picture of the Chargers? It's been long enough.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of that, I'll just jump into the thing that I hate. I hate that we lost to this same team last year. Now, granted, there were some other things going on. It was not week one. It was well into the season, and it was our second game in 8 days in California. So we were a little bit road tired after coming off the 49ers game and then right into this one. But still, I hate that they have bragging rights right now going into week one. And I hope Tua Tagovailoa, Mike McDaniel, and everybody can go ahead and erase that from everybody's memory with a nice, solid outing against these stupid Chargers in week one. Because here's the deal. The Chargers have good talent. Justin Herbert is good. I don't care what anybody says. He's good. They've got Austin Ekeler, one of the best fantasy running backs of all time, and a very talented receiving back out of the backfield. They have Keenan Allen, who's been there forever, who consistently is there. If he's not hurt, he does it on the field. Mike Williams is good. They've got a good tight end. They have good players on defense. Even though they have all these good players, though, Chris, they're not a good team. They're just not a good team. Look at the record that they have since Justin Herbert has taken over and been their starting quarterback. You would have thought that he has won every Super Bowl he was eligible for since he came into the league. And the fact of the matter is he has a losing record as the starting quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, for the Los Angeles Chargers. He has all the arm talent in the world, and he's going to be a good, if not great player in this league long-term if he stays healthy, but he hasn't done it yet. And somehow he is anointed the guy. Yet Tua Tagovailoa, who has very similar stats in terms of touchdown passes, in terms of passing percentage, completion percentage. The only thing that isn't the same is Tua Tagovailoa has a much better winning record than Justin Herbert. Yet somehow everyone's like, well, he still has to prove himself. Like, I don't get why it's so freaking backwards. And I hate that we lost to this team last year, because it gives people the ability to say, well, the Chargers are better than the Dolphins, when I honestly just don't think they are, Chris. So I hate that this mediocre mid Chargers team gets all this positive press. And we're our own worst enemies and allowed them to happen by losing to them last year.
You know what? The good thing is, like I've mentioned already in this episode, the 8 fans of the Chargers aren't really that loud of a voice on social media, so I'm not worried about it. You're right. 23-17 last year. Tua had a pretty shitty game, if I remember correctly. He had like 153 yards passing, and 60 of it was to Tyreek Hill. So on one play, Tyreek Hill had the fumble recovery for the touchdown in that game, and Herbert threw for like 300 and ridiculous something yards and a touchdown. So yeah, we're gonna have to come to play. I have a feeling our defense is gonna be a little bit better, a lot better, with Vic Fangio. Obviously we're hurting on the number 2 cornerback position there. No Noah Igbinogbene, which is funny now that, like, you know, this is the first time we're recording since we've gotten rid of him. We don't need to worry about pronouncing his name anymore.
Yeah. I love that. We refused to commit it to memory, and now he's gone and I don't have to.
Yeah, no, I don't have to. Like, I'm done with it. I'm going to jump into my third and last.
Well, but before you do, I just want to rebut that. I want to continue the hate on this, because you're right. Last year we lost, and I think it was by one score, and it was a very, very weird game.
It's so weird.
The San Diego Chargers defense came in and they played great. They actually beat our receivers at the line. They didn't allow them to get open. It caused problems. We could not run the ball, even though we should have been able to. We weren't able to. We were tired. We were on the road for a long time. It was a struggle to get through that game. And our defense didn't do us any favors, but I think that's been corrected mainly by the defensive coordinator switch, right? Vic Fangio coming in. And by the way, their defensive coordinator last year, Ronaldo Hill, is now on our side. He's our defensive backs coach, if I'm not mistaken. So
that's the game where it was like, what, 3rd and 15? And we put all of our linebackers in the end
Josh
zone.
Josh Boyer special.
Yeah. Fucking unbelievably horrible. So
bad. I mean, really bad decision-making. That doesn't happen with Vic Fangio if you're even in the same scenario. So you're going to see different outcomes just based on that. So I feel pretty confident that our new defensive scheme is going to be better than what we showed last year. It doesn't mean it's going to be a gimme game by any stretch of the imagination, but I just would like to point that out, that we had some really bad defensive play calling. We had some bad luck trying to execute our offensive game plan because their corners, give them credit, did a fantastic job against our Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, which does beg the question, who's going to be that third option? Who's going to be the third man, Chris, for the Miami Dolphins on offense? But we'll get into that with a little bit more detail in just a little bit. But you wanted to get in there. I interrupted you. I hate that I did that. My apologies. What is number three on your top three things that you hate about the Los Angeles Chargers?
Don't hate it because it's fine. That just adds fuel to my fire. And give me a second. I'm going to pause. I'm going to cut a wrestling promo right here. Ready? Philip Rivers, you are by far the most overrated quarterback in NFL history. I will take Chad Henne's dip spitting in the styrofoam cup quarterback over you. Matt Moore's teeth make you look like a fucking ugly Goodwill t-shirt. You throw like I throw a disc golf frisbee. You're terrible. I'm so glad Kiko Alonso picked six your ass and went like this in the end zone. You have the balls to talk shit like you're a NASCAR driver at a country concert. You need to stop existing with your 37 kids, with your stupid wife and her clown car vagina. I am so done thinking about, wondering about Philip Rivers. When I think of the San Diego or Los Angeles Chargers, I think of three names: Antonio Gates, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Philip fuck off Rivers. That guy sucks. I'm done with him. His name's stupid. He's not related to Joaquin Phoenix. He's not related to the family whose last name is Leaf or Rivers or whatever the fuck it is. I'm so done with the Chargers having stupid acronym or random named quarterbacks of things like Rivers and Leafs. Like, I'm just done with it. I hate Philip Rivers. I think he throws like a piece of shit. I live in North Carolina. I know people that went to NC State when he was there. He put his feet up on the desk and didn't even try in class because he knew he was going to the NFL, and he was just a piece of dick fucking twat lint shit to his teachers, and I hate him. I hate that piece of shit. I picture he just drinks like Keystone Light, and he puts like a little lime juice in it, and he like judges people for like dipping the wrong Copenhagen, and he's just dumb. I fucking hate Philip Rivers. I've been drinking all night, and I've been waiting to rant on this piece of shit. I really hate him so much.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at Ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I gathered that. I should point out, just so it, maybe this will make you feel better about the situation, Chris, Philip Rivers is not playing for the San Diego or Los Angeles Chargers any longer. I believe he is retired. So
he is. At the end, but when I think of the Chargers, that's the piece of shit I think of. And he talks shit. And he does it weirdly. He's just like an odd shit talker. He's like, hey, I'm intimidated, man. I just throw touchdowns. You can't stop me. You can't stop me. And it's like, shut the fuck up, you twang mouth vocalized dumbass. No one cares to hear what you're saying right now.
Yeah, I do. I do like the fact that they did have a lot of quarterbacks that were basically like nouns or adjectives as their last name, right? So you had the Breeze, you had the Leaf, hey, and of go. Course yeah. you had the Rivers. And for those that didn't quite get the Phoenix relation, River Brother. Phoenix is what he was thinking of with Phil
Thank
Rivers
you,
and River Phoenix. So I got you. I understand. Well, look, my number one thing, or the third thing that I hate about the Los Angeles Chargers is very similar to yours. It has to do with the quarterback, but it doesn't have to do with their former quarterback. It has to do with their current quarterback, Justin Herbert, mainly because I think people think that we hate him. I don't hate Justin Herbert. If Justin Herbert was on the Miami Dolphins, I would love Justin Herbert. I am loyal to the soil when it comes to the Miami Dolphins, as you see behind me. But I hate the fact that there's always going to be a comparison between Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert until the day they are both out of the league. It's like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson in the NBA. It's going to be Tua Tagovailoa and freaking Justin Herbert. It's just
if they both get championships, I'm okay with it because that means we do too.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I mean, it's just ridiculous that the comparisons that you see. Oh, Justin has the, how did we pass on him? He's got the arm strength. And then if it were the other way around and Herbert was with Miami, people would be like, can you believe they passed on the accuracy of Tua Tagovailoa, a proven winner at Alabama? It just doesn't matter. They're not going to be able to win if you're the Miami Dolphins. Like I said, the Chargers are somehow a mediocre team that gets publicity like they've won championships year over year, and the Dolphins are somewhat of a better mediocre team, and it feels like they're in last place based on the media attention every single year up until recently, of course. But I just think the Miami Dolphins are better. I think they have a better coach in Mike McDaniel. I think the quarterbacks are different but very equal. They have different strengths and different weaknesses, but they work for the systems that they're in. I think the Miami Dolphins have better wide receivers. I think the Chargers have better running backs and a better offensive line. I think the Miami Dolphins have better defensive line than the Los Angeles Chargers. I think they're pretty even when it comes to the defensive backfield, and maybe they've got us when it comes to linebackers. The kicking game, relatively the same. They're very evenly matched teams. I just think the Miami Dolphins are better, and I think that's because Mike McDaniel is a better coach than what they have over there in Chargers land. And I hate the fact that it's always going to boil down to Herbert and Tua when you have all these other entities around both of them, quite frankly, which are really going to dictate the success in terms of team success that they're going to have or not have going forward in this game and beyond. So I just hate the comparisons more than anything, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bed we have to lay in because of the draft position and how it worked out, and us taking Tua over Herbert when we had both available. I mean, that's always going to be a comparison, and it's up to Tua. It's up to Greer to put the team around him, and it's up to McDaniel to coach the team to shut those haters up and the critics up. And until Tua is putting up 367 and beating the Chargers, that those arguments going to be out there, whether they're warranted or not. And honestly, he had a season enough, in my opinion, other than the injuries, where the critics should stop. The criticism should stop with Tua because of the season he had when healthy. He was tearing teams apart. You know, Waddle and Hill are both over 1,000 yards. I mean, like, there's no reason that there should be any criticism, but of course they find something and it's the injuries. So as long as he keeps that cleaned up, finally, I think this is where he kind of gets that monkey off his back, as Steve Young did when he won the Super Bowl. And then we just keep comparing Herbert and Tua as they both have success in the NFL, because I agree with you. I like Herbert, and I think they're both going to do well for years and years to come.
All right. So we talked about all the things that we hate about the Los Angeles Chargers. I feel better. I feel like that was a good therapy session for both Chris Cullen and myself here on Welcome to Perfectville, part of the Believe Podcast Network. So let's get down to it, Chris. Just a couple of quick hitter questions, yes, no, single word answers, and then let's get into the final predictions of week one for the Los Angeles Chargers and the Miami Dolphins. Your prediction, who scores the first touchdown for the Miami Dolphins in week one against the Chargers.
You're going to like this one. It's going to be a newly extended fullback Ingold. He is going to get
Alec
a touchdown.
Ingold is the choice that Chris called.
It's
going to
be a play action. Mostert's going to lead us down the field. It's going to be a play action. Ingold will be wide open in the end zone, and it's going to be a very nice little send-off type deal because he got a new deal.
That's what I was thinking, too. If they get down in a goal line situation, Alec Ingold might just get the ball on a fullback dive or something like that to say, hey, here you go. You're part of the offense. I'm going to go with Braxton Berrios for that same scenario. Nice. I think getting somewhere, this is where Braxton Berrios is very interesting to me. Honey Nut Berrios, as he is on Twitter. If you're within that 10-yard line, so inside the red zone, but like the inner half of that red zone, I think the Miami Dolphins have struggled up until recently, probably last year, and having some sort of end zone, red zone target. And normally, traditionally, that's going to be a bigger guy that you can throw the ball up right to and let him go up and get it. Braxton Berrios is not that. But Braxton Berrios is very quick. He's very jittery, and he's a guy that I think can turn on a dime, and you can create plays, and he can create his own space if you're in that 5 to 10 yard area where you're going to be concerned about Tyreek Hill, you're going to be concerned about Jalen Waddle, and all of a sudden Braxton Berrios is out there and he's just kind of squirrel fucking your nickelback and getting himself open and then running 3 yards, you know, to the pylon and getting in. So I'm going to go with Braxton Berrios. I think we saw a lot of drives stall down inside that red zone last year. We had to settle for field goals. I think Braxton Berrios becomes that guy that you can rely on to score touchdowns beyond Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in the passing game when it comes to wide receivers. So
Berrios is very New England Patriot-esque when it comes to finding the soft spot of the zone and a quarterback that wants to 1-2-3 throw it.
Yep.
Like Tua, a timing route, Berrios will get there and find the soft spot in the zone and he's going to hit him. I agree. He's going to have a very good year, I think, with Tua checking down.
I agree. I think he's going to be one of Tua's favorite people to throw the ball to. Plus, it's another alliteration. Braxton Berrios, Tua Tagovailoa, Mike McDaniel, Wes Welker. You got a lot of double letter names here in Miami. It's going to work. All right. So who's going to get the first turnover on defense for the Miami Dolphins?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that, Sam. It's going to be Jalen Phillips on a sack fumble on Justin Herbert. He is going to have an absolute fucking breakout year with Vic Fangio as defensive coordinator, with Bradley Chubb getting the double team on the other side. I think Jalen Phillips is now in year three, I think, going into year three of his NFL career. He's more comfortable. He's your junior year of high school. It's your junior year of college. You've played a couple years. You got the training wheels off. Nothing is exciting or crazy or unexpected anymore. You're comfortable. The game slowed down. Jalen Phillips, strip sack fumble on Herbert. He's going to return it for a couple yards, maybe get tackled by Eckler or something. It's going to be Jalen Phillips. I'm calling it now. Fucking put it in pen.
Put it in pen, and I will put it in permanent ink on top of that, because that's who I was going to say too. He was going to get the turnover on a strip sack, and also answer the question of who is getting the first sack of the season. Looks like Jalen Phillips is on both of our bingo cards. But if he could take a couple plays off after that, because I just saw what Nick Bosa got, and maybe Jalen Phillips.
I told Zachary before the show, you're moving to defensive end.
Absolutely, 100%. All right, so last one here. The team captains were named. Biggest surprise name that is a captain, or biggest surprise name that isn't a captain, in your opinion?
I'm going to go with, I don't know if it's a surprise, but I think with what's going on, I thought it was interesting. It definitely piqued my interest is when Christian Wilkins was named captain, because he's holding in. He wants a new contract. We've tabled contract discussions with him, and we're going to just wait till the season goes. But I appreciate in love with McDaniel, didn't turn a blind eye of what he still means to this team in the 2023 roster and franchise this season, and still named him captain. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, and I believe they were voted in by the team too. So it shows you how much the team still is in support of Christian Wilkins. And yeah, I think he will get paid, but I appreciate what Christian Wilkins has done with regards to how he's conducted himself through this entire process. He wants more money. He deserves more money. It sounds like they're close in many, many ways. It's just the guarantees aren't exactly there.
He said he wants to, you know, end his career as a Miami Dolphin. Like,
yeah, he said he had no desire to go anywhere else other than for the Miami Dolphins. And I appreciate that. And that's something you would do want to reward. And he got rewarded a little bit by being team captain. I think that was the name that maybe going to go in terms of a name or a name that was on there, a name that wasn't. And it has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that I thought that maybe Jalen Waddle would be named a team captain at this point. And I understand you're going to have both offense and defense. And I don't think he really gives a shit, because who do you take off to put him on? But it would be interesting to see the next step in Jalen Waddle's career be not only a leader in the locker room, but on paper as well. So I'm looking for that sometime in the future. Jalen Waddle, future team captain for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm okay with him not being. I mean, you're like 1B on like as a number one receiver with Tyreek Hill ahead of you, who's very vocal, who's a veteran, and it's a very young team when you think of the weapons on our roster. So I'm okay with him not being voted captain. I'm sure he got a ton of votes and he's very close, and there's only so many captains you can have or else everybody would be one. But Waddle's right there. I think soon as Tyreek leaves or retires or whatever, Waddle's next in line, and it's going to be a very smooth transition.
Let me ask you this. If Jalen Ramsey hadn't been injured, do you think he would be a team captain?
I think so.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think there's any reason why he shouldn't be, with A, how vocal he is, and B, he's NFL top 100. He's been around the league. He's one of the most bona fide, like, under a microscope players in the NFL. He absolutely would be, just based on hype and everything, your reputation alone. He would definitely be a captain, in my opinion.
All right, so we've talked about it. We've got some quick thoughts as to how this team's going to play week one. We've talked about what we hate about the Chargers. It's time for it, Chris. Last thing before we get up on out of here, as the kids like to say. I think that's what they say. Who wins this game and how do they win it? Is it the Chargers at home or is it the Miami Dolphins on the road? Week one, big matchup, playoff implications in week one for the Chargers and the Dolphins. Two people that, you know, they're very polarizing teams, by the way. Some say, oh, yeah, the Dolphins are going to the Super Bowl. Others say they're not even making the playoffs. Chargers have the same sort of stuff going on right now. Who wins this game and how do they win it? Go.
I will go. One, Phillip Rivers, fuck you. Two, man, Sam, this is a good one. This is we're on the road. Week one, no real tape to go off of. It's a different team, different season. We have some added additions. We had some losses. They did as well. It's going to be interesting. Sam, I'm going to call it right now. I'm calling it with Jalen Phillips. I'm calling it with Ingold on the touchdown as well. I'm going to be 3 for 3 on this. It's a two-time Hall of Famer here in the doctor. I'm calling it right now. It's a shootout in Los Angeles. It's a shootout in the Rams Stadium, SoFi Stadium. It is a shootout in the house that McVay built. It is a shootout, and it'll be the Dolphins 38. L.A., San Diego, fuck Phillip Rivers, Chargers 31. It will be a victory, 1-0 Miami Dolphins. We're coming to Sunday Night Football against the Patriots Week 2. On top, 1-0, Dolphins 38, Chargers 31.
Dolphins 38, Chargers 31. That would be a barn burner week one. Absolutely. Two high octane offenses going head to head, toe to toe. And speaking of head to heads and toe to toes, I cannot make this prediction without acknowledging the fact that one of our best players, Teron Armstead, did not practice today. He's on the he's on the injury report. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm pretty sure the Miami Dolphins had a losing record last season when Teron Armstead did not play at left tackle. I think he's going to play. But I don't think he's going to practice ever again. He's just never going to actually practice.
He sits on a golf cart and waits for Sunday.
Yes. They're just going to wrap him in like cellophane and like peanuts and put him in a box and ship him to game and just say, do not open till Sunday afternoon. So like he'll be in Boston next week, week two, just ready to go. But I think it comes down to the health of him, right? I really do think that physical talent, but his leadership on that line. You have a young line across the board. I mean, Robert Hunt is good. Connor Williams is good, as long as he's not snapping the ball to the moon. And then you have some other people that are going to be put in there that are probably going to need Teron Armstead's leadership. But I also think you're going to see tight ends staying in. You're going to see a lot of Alec Ingold. You're going to see a lot of bigger jumbo sets on the line and probably going two wide receivers and trying to run the ball behind, you know, sort of a stacked line with tight ends and fullbacks. Raheem Mostert's going to get a lot of run. I think you're going to see our rookie running backs, the duo, Chris Brooks and Devon Achane, who was a full participant in practice, get a lot of run. I think we're going to try to run the damn ball in this game. And so that to me means it's probably going to be a little bit lower scoring until we actually have to score. But if we can establish the run, if we can actually get, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards per carry early, that opens it up for Jalen Waddle. That opens it up for Tyreek Hill. And then, of course, you have this defense that we don't even know what it looks like yet with Vic Fangio, ready to unleash hell on Justin Herbert. So I think the Miami Dolphins win as well, but I don't see it as 38-31. I think it totally depends on the health of Teron Armstead, whether or not we win this game handily or not. But I see this as being a little bit of a lower scoring affair. I got the Miami Dolphins at 27, and I have the Los Angeles Chargers at 20. 27-20, a touchdown spread, very similar to what you got, just a little bit lower in scale. I see this game being something where the Dolphins get out ahead early and just sort of keep that pace. You know, I think the Chargers are going to chase them throughout. They'll get a little closer. They maybe tie it. Then the Dolphins are going to, you know, come back and answer. I think that's how this is going to go, Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a little bonus fantasy feature here. I think if you have Raheem Mostert on your roster in fantasy, you start him or you flex him because he's going to get some catches. He's going to get a ton of carries. He's put on some weight. He's going to be healthy, fresh, ready to go. And I think McDaniel's coming into this game with an added mindset that, oh, yeah, that's right. I was known for running the ball. Maybe I should do that a little bit more this year. So week one, two, three, and four, I think Mostert's going to and a chain is going to get a lot of carry. So I'd definitely start them as opposed to sitting them.
Yeah, I think I saw the other day, I don't know if somebody said it or I read it or I heard it, but somebody said Raheem Mostert is the guy you play when you want to win September when it comes to fantasy football. And I think that's a very astute observation by whoever made it. Kudos to you. I don't remember who you are or I'd give you credit, but I thought that was very well done. They're going to try to establish the run. They tried to do that last year against this team. It didn't work out for a bunch of reasons. I think they're going to be more successful this time. I see this being a game that's won on the ground in the trenches. And if it comes down to the Miami Dolphins defensive line against the Los Angeles Chargers offensive line, I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins defense, especially with Vic Fangio not showing anything in preseason. He's going to unleash hell on Justin Herbert come week one. At least that's what I'm hoping for. Fingers crossed on both sides. Chris, anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you need to get off your chest before we leave and go start prepping for week one of the Miami Dolphins season?
Good luck to Ireland in the Rugby World Cup starting this weekend as well. I'm rooting for Ireland because USA did not qualify because we are not there yet nationally when it comes to this sport, but it's a beautiful sport and the World Cup is an incredible thing and I'm rooting for Ireland. So World Cup rugby, woohoo.
We are all opening up a pack of Coors Light for Ireland during the World Cup.
Most popular beer than Guinness, baby.
All right, Chris. Well, on behalf of the two-time Hall of Famer, myself, the entire Believe Network, brought to you and presented by betonline.ag, the only thing left to say is goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.